All right. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we do have a guest speaker with us tonight. He's an evangelist, Brother Bob Martin, and he's been pastor and he's been in evangelism for, I'll let him tell you about all the years, but his son lives in Carrollton, so he's in the area, and so he thought he'd look up the best church he could find.
Found it.
And they didn't answer the phone, so he couldn't. Anyway, I'm just playing. Anyway, it's good to have him tonight. I told him just ignore that clock back there, amen. I told him that y'all would amen.
Amen.
I told him y'all would amen.
Amen.
All right, okay. Now, don't let me down now, okay. All right. Anyway, he's going to come and he's going to tell us a little bit about his ministry. Then he's going to preach the Bible to us tonight. Brother Martin, why don't you come? Lord bless you, brother.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Is this on?
Yeah, it's on.
Oh, good. All right. Thank you. I'm too fat to see it, so. Well, you say amen. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Amen. We were in a restaurant the other day, and she looked like she was about 15, 16 years old, but anyway, she was seating us, and she's going to put us in a booth. And I said, "Ma'am, you got a table. I'm really too fat for a booth." And she lost it. I mean, she just lost it. My wife said, "I really shouldn't pick on folks." If you take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and while you're getting there, let me just explain a little bit about what we do. I hope you got a card, a weekend witness and seminar card. This is our senior citizen edition. Actually, we were getting them, and it had a pop-up, and it said, "Larger size, same price." And my wife had trained me well, so I hit it. And this is what came, and we were really kind of ashamed of them. We hated to give them out. They're so big. And the first pastor said, "Man, I love your cards." Said, "I can see yours." And I said, "Well, amen, hallelujah." But pray for us. The greatest need of any missionary is prayer. Period. You know, money not a problem. Hello? People not a problem. If the saints of God pray.
Amen.
So that's what a blessing. I was saved at 27 years of age. My wife got saved 8 years after I was preaching. She was the best pastor's wife I knew, and then she got saved and got better.
Amen.
Amen. It'll help pastor's wives. I was a musing youth director and a drunk when I got saved. That's three times a week. God, why God put up with me, I do not know. Why he would save me, I've never figured out. But I thank him for that.
Amen.
And then God called us to preach, and called me to preach. Excuse me. Well, I'm running everything, man. And then pastored for, I think, altogether, pastored 28 years. The Lord sent me back to seminary. Folks, I don't know that I recommend that to preachers, but I'm just telling you what God did with me, and I couldn't figure out why, and so I just went and I already had college, and so we finished that, and I'm pastoring churches, and a few years later, God said, "We're going to do a doctorate in theology." And I said, ho, "No, we're not." Now, my daddy used to, if you said you didn't want to do something he wants you to do, he'd go, "That meant get ready for the consequences." And so it was like God went, I said, "All right, Lord, we'll do it." And I wrote my dissertation on the doctrine of sin, a comparison of world religions and the Bible. And it was amazing. God taught me so much. It is a teaching degree. It's not just a theological degree. It's an education degree. And so, whoopee, I'm a doctor. And you walk up to me and say, "Dr. Martin," and I get real suspicious of you. I'm Brother Bob, okay? Amen? I'm Brother Bob, amen? I know there's bound to be one smart aleck around the church that's going to do it after service. But anyway, so, you know, I got a doctorate. Wow. Whoopee. Well, 15 years later, God sent us to Nicaragua, and part of my job was Bible institutes. Now I'm writing curriculum.
Yeah.
And the men that I'm dealing with are men who have a third grade education. Most of my students in Nicaragua and Costa Rica made $100 a month. That's it. But I'm telling you, some of the greatest servants of God I've ever met in my life. Yeah. But they lived on the backside of the Campo. They lived on the backside of the country. So what I had to do, I learned real quick what I had to do, is I had to dumb down English so I could dumb down the Spanish.
Huh. Yeah.
So they get a hold of it.
Right.
Guess what I needed? I needed a doctorate education. The theology wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when God called me to preach, I just going to go preach. God said, no, you're not. You're going to school. Yeah. Going to school. And but isn't God good? He knows where we're going to be years from now, don't he?
Yeah.
And here's what I tell young people. Go all out for God.
Amen.
I mean, just get 120% and go for God. And you'll be amazed 15 years from now what God may be doing in your life.
Yep.
How he's going to use you.
Yep. Amen.
What a blessing it really is.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yep.
Well, we were in Nicaragua for 3.5 years, and that was a hoot. That was right after the Sandinista Wars. And then we were in Costa Rica for 8.5 years, and then God sent us back home. And folks, I'm going to tell you, that's the toughest thing I've ever had to do in my life was come home, because it felt like a failure. But before we came home, I just put in a newsletter. If you'd like for us to do a witnessing seminar while we're home, let me know. And boom, I'm telling you, within a week, I had 6. I said, ho. Okay, you trying to tell me something, Lord? He didn't answer a thing. And within the month, I had 9 more. I said, I believe you're trying to tell me something, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Aren't you glad he does that?
Yeah.
And so we've been back 4 years. I don't know how many churches we've been in. I don't know how many folks have gotten saved. And what a blessing it is just to be able. Now, folks, listen. I don't teach people how to witness.
Right.
I'll teach you how to witness better.
Amen.
But you ought to have that down if you're saved. Amen.
Amen.
And it's been such a blessing. And we see folks that we had in one of the seminars. And by the way, we don't charge.
Yeah.
And we don't need support. Okay?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Boy, they got quiet on that one, didn't they? Ah. Now, if you will give us support, amen. But it's been amazing as God has taken care of us, and we've watched him do it, and we're like everybody else. Sometimes we get anxious, amen.
Yes, sir.
But it's so good just to trust him and walk with him.
Amen.
We thank you for letting us come tonight. And I'm sorry, I didn't introduce my wife. This is my wife, Joy. Her name in Spanish is Goza. I say, Goza de mi vida. She's the joy of my life. And she says,
Maso menos.
More or less, sometimes more, sometimes less. All you women understand that? Okay, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm sorry, but I want to hurry up and get in the book. Is that all right? Amen. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to read one verse and then go from there. If you need something, pray for us. Pray for strength and physical strength. I'm 73, and if you want to know how old she is, you ask her after service.
Yeah.
Being married 50 years taught me some things, folks. Amen. Hallelujah. But
ask a woman her age.
You don't?
No.
Oh. Well, I got to quit that, I tell you. Amen. Acts chapter 1, I hope you found it. If you're able to, and you can, would you stand and honor the Word of God and follow along in your copy of His Word as I read from mine. He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power if the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth." Verse 9, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Our Father, would you help us tonight? Speak grace to our hearts, we pray. Lord, we've got to walk back out in the world and, Lord, face all of the ridicule and all the junk and the garbage that goes with it. And yet, Lord, you're able, and we understand that. And so we ask that you might help us, strengthen us, encourage us, and live for you the rest of the week in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The last words of somebody before they die are always important. Matter of fact, there's a legality with that. And here's the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ right before he ascends back up into heaven. I always think verse 9 is really kind of fun. I mean, here these fellows are, and the Lord's just talking to them, and he gives them Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and all of a sudden he just... And I'm surprised that what the angel did not say was, why are you standing here with your mouth open? You got work to do.
Right.
Amen. Those things are always important. We look at people, their last words. We remember what maybe our mother or father or loved one said right before they died. Well, this is extremely important, and sometimes we miss the message. But I want you to see this tonight. Now, if you're going to understand Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you're going to have to understand the context. Okay, so let's just look at the context. We can move through this real quick. In verses 1 through 5, you have the scriptural history. Look at verse 1. The former treatise, have I made, O Theophilus? That former treatise is the book of Luke. Theophilus, who's Theophilus? I don't know, you don't know, your preacher don't know, the commentators don't know, the folks who say they know don't know. May I make a statement to you folks? There's some things you're going to have to wait till you get to heaven to find out. I've got about 23, 24 questions right now. Of course, somebody said, well, when you step over, you'll know everything. I said, well, if I don't, I got 23, 24 questions. And there's some things that happen in your life. And God doesn't choose to give you an explanation. He asks you to trust Him by faith.
Amen.
He said, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So the book of Luke, that former treatise, is all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment. Now, folks, listen, a commandment is just a command.
Right.
I understood that from the service. I mean, I was given a command. It was my job to obey the command, to perform the command. Okay, had given commands unto the apostles whom He'd chosen. He did it through the Holy Ghost. Now, don't get afraid of those two words, Holy Ghost, all right? He's just talking about the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, He did it through the Holy Ghost. Do you understand that Jesus did everything that He did by the Holy Spirit? See, if you go to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, you find that everything He did. What's the temptation in the wilderness to the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's stones. You need bread. Command to use His power. Cast yourself down. Use your power. And He never did it. Why? He is not just our Savior. He really is our example. And how do we live? We live empowered by the Holy Ghost of God. And the truth of the matter, if we're walking right with God, if we're living right with God, we're in right relationship with God, we're allowing the Holy Spirit of God to do His work through us. Now, I can't stay there. That's another sermon, all right? He said, verse 3, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs. Do you understand there's more proof that Jesus resurrected from the dead than there is that you're alive? So He showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs. And matter of fact, Paul's going to come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and say at least 500 people saw Him at one time. And a bunch of those folks were still living when Paul made that statement. Now, and the apostles whom He had chosen. I can't stop. Verse 3. To whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. So for 40 days now, please mark that down in your mind. For 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Understand, He's teaching them about the kingdom for 40 days. Solid 40 days. Now, if my understanding's right, I think it is, My understanding, right, there's three entities. One is the family of God, is found in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 15. It talks about the family of God. That's all the saved folks in heaven, all the saved folks in earth. In Matthew, he talks about the kingdom of heaven, and the rest of it, he talks about the kingdom of God, but they're still the same kingdom.
Yes, sir. Right. Yep. Right.
What's the kingdom? Kingdom's all saved folks on this earth.
Right. Yep.
Now, he's spending 40 days telling them how to spread the kingdom.
Yeah.
Oh. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's telling them how to get folks saved.
Amen.
Yep.
You with me?
Yep.
Now, I want you to latch on to that. 40 days. Can you imagine sitting at the feet of Jesus for 40 days and him teaching you day after 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 day for 40 days about the kingdom? You'd think you'd know something about the kingdom.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Now, the third entity that I know of is a church. This is a church.
Right. Yep.
I'm sorry, I don't believe in a universal church.
Yes,
if you do, you work that out with God. But listen, I don't find it in the Bible, and I'm not Catholic.
Nope. Yeah.
You do understand that's what the word Catholic means, yeah. Universal church. Amen. Now, how does he spread the kingdom? He spreads the kingdom by the church. How do I know that? Well, the whole book of Acts, and I don't have a long time to run here, okay? Stay with me. What you have is you have the teaching of the kingdom, and you have the work of Peter, and we're going to... Peter basically already knew what his job was. He had keys to the kingdom.
Yep.
Not keys to the church, keys to the kingdom.
Uh-huh.
And his job was to unlock the kingdom.
Yep.
And he did that on Pentecost. He unlocked the kingdom to the Jews.
Amen.
In Samaria, he unlocked the kingdom to the half-Jews. When you get to Cornelius' house, he unlocks the kingdom to the Gentiles. And I sure am glad he did.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Hmm. So for 40 days, he's teaching them. Now, they already knew a lot about the church. They knew about church discipline. He'd already taught them that.
Yep.
Stay with me now.
Yep.
Look at this. 40 solid days. You say, preacher, why is that important? Okay, look at this. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Here's those commands again. That they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes,
so he's saying, listen to me. You need to understand, here's what's going to happen. You're going to spread the kingdom. And it's all going to come because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yep. Now, remember, 40 days?
Yep.
Look at verse 6. Here's the scriptural diversion. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are they talking about? They're talking about the same thing Pharisees were talking about. Lord, we know that the Messiah is going to come and he's going to defeat the Romans. He's going to run them out. And excuse me. And he's going to set up his throne in Jerusalem. He's going to rule all the nations.
Right.
Well, he is one day, but not then.
That's right.
Now get this. They've been taught for 40 days about the kingdom.
Yeah.
And after 40 days, they say, all right, Lord, when are you going to set up your kingdom in Israel, in Jerusalem?
Yeah.
They didn't get it.
Nope. Nope.
Right.
40 days.
Yep.
Now, before we get down on them too bad, there's a lot of times I don't get it either.
Yeah, that's for sure. Me too.
And you don't either. Amen. But that just messed my whole mind up when I read that. I said, Lord, 40 days. And he spoke to my heart and said, yeah, I think I've talked to you several times about, yeah, let's just about a certain thing. Let's talk about it again.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Come on.
Everything in your life that keeps you from serving God is a diversion.
Right. That's good.
Yeah.
That's true.
Wow.
You with me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Here's the diversion.
Amen.
That's it.
I had a young couple, and they sat in my in my office, and I said, "Preacher, we don't understand. Last 4 years, we just going through the same set of circumstances, same. He said, "It seems like it's just never ending. It's like a circle." And I said, Yeah, you're right. And I said, "You know what's going on?" I said, "Sure, I know what's going on." "You don't know what's going on?" "I don't know what's going on." I said, "Real simple. You just never graduated the fourth grade." When you get saved, you immediately go to school.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to be at school until you die or Jesus comes.
Amen. Yep.
Now, when I was a boy, I don't know what it's like now. When I was a boy, if you didn't do your work in fourth grade, you didn't pass your tests in fourth grade, you weren't present at school in the fourth grade, you got to do the fourth grade over again.
Yep.
You say, "Well, we've come to a better form of education." God hasn't.
Amen.
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 Woo!
Amen.
Sometimes I pray, "Lord, would you just interject yourself into my life and heart? Would you, Lord, if you got to slap me on the back of the head, do it."
Amen.
Because I don't think I'm getting this.
Yeah.
Come on. Now, I got to hurry, so let's go on. All right, look at this. That's the spiritual diversion. Now look at the power of God. He said in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power." Now y'all got to help me. Y'all ready? The answer to every question is no. Y'all ready? Okay. "You shall receive power to make money."
No.
No. "You shall receive power to be famous."
No.
No. "You shall receive power to speak in tongues."
No.
"You shall receive power to heal the sick."
No.
"You shall receive power to preach."
No.
Oh, lost some of you there.
Yes.
"You shall receive power to sing."
No.
No. "You shall receive power to live holy." No. "You shall..."
Come on.
Y'all got quiet. Come on now. "You shall receive power to pray."
No.
No. What'd they receive power for?
Witness.
A witness.
Amen.
Wow. Now listen, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is enablement.
Yep.
By the way, this is my personal belief. You differ, that's fine. I don't, you know, I'll let you and God work it out. I believe there's only one baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I think that happened in Acts chapter 2.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yep.
But I do understand that when the Holy Ghost of God comes on you, it is a baptism, it is a filling, it is a, whatever you will call it, a power.
Right.
Because he's calling us to a life that we certainly cannot do and perform on our own. All right. Y'all turn back over to John chapter 20. Did you understand that some folks already had the Holy Ghost? John chapter 20. I'm going to get you Bibles. I hope you got the right Bible. Wait a minute. I wasn't supposed to talk about that, was I, preacher?
No.
Oh,
it's
all right. Amen. Look at John chapter 20, verse 19. "Same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples..." The who?
Disciples.
Not the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
The disciples.
Right.
How many disciples were there?
Who
knows? Well, we know later on there's at least 120.
Yep.
All right? The disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. And this word fear is an interesting word. Literally, the word means to feel your knees knocked together. They were scared slap dab to death.
Yeah.
Now, folks, only time I went through a year of Vietnam, and I never was that scared. But I'm telling you, when I married that woman right there, we hadn't seen each other for 2 years. In 2 years, we'd seen each other for 2 weeks. A little bit short of 2 weeks. I'd been gone for a year on a Navy cruise and got back, and we had 3 days together, and we went up to courthouse, and I said, "You sure you want to do this?" And she just sat there for a while, and I thought, "Well, we ain't getting married." And she said, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, no." Well, anyway, I'm standing there, and she's standing there, and I looked at that woman, and I said, I have no idea who this woman is. Now, we'd already decided divorce was not in our vocabulary. Hello? And I looked at her, and I'm telling you, I felt my knees knock together. Scared me too, Dad. That's how scared these folks were. Now, I love what the Lord does. Look at this. He said, peace be unto you. And when he so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the apostles glad. I read it wrong again. Oh, disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Lord Jesus said unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send to you. That's a whole different message. And when they had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Disciples got the Holy Ghost. In the upper room. You say, well, what was the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Baptism of the Holy Ghost was an enablement of power. To empower them to do what God had called them to do. So everybody here gets the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all looking at me strange. Just stay with me. It'll get good. All right. Amen. Turn back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. When did you get the Holy Ghost? Yeah. I'm telling you, when you got the Holy Ghost, you got all the Holy Ghost you're going to get. Yeah. Now, he ain't got all of you, and he's working on that, and we'll work on that until you die or Jesus comes. But I tell you, listen, you got all the Holy Ghost you'll ever get. That's salvation. When you get saved. You see, it's part of the birthing and the changing work of God. Now listen to what I'm going to say to you. Every time you see the Holy Spirit from Genesis chapter, what is chapter 1, where it says that he brooded, every time you see the Holy Spirit has to do with birthing. He birthed you into salvation. He made a new creation out of you. He made a new person out of you. You're not what you was. If you are, you didn't get saved. Hallelujah. The fellow said to me, he said, when I get my life cleaned up, said I'll he said to one of my men, he said, when I get my life cleaned up, said I'll get saved. And this fellow told him, said, why don't you go on, cut your throat and go on to hell then, because you ain't never going to clean your life up.
That's right.
Hello? Yep. Hey, folks. The Holy Ghost of God is the one who cleans our life up. Amen. You see, his work is to save you, to seal you, to sanctify you, and to send you.
Amen.
So you got the Holy Ghost of salvation.
Amen.
Yep.
Just like the bunch did in Acts.
Yep.
All right. So, got scripture, preacher? I do. Acts chapter 2:38, that verse that Baptists hate with a passion. The Church of Christ and the Pentecost and a bunch of other folks love.
Oh, yeah.
Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins. Now here's the problem. The Church of Christ and the Catholics and the Pentecostals, or the Church of Christ and the Pentecostals, don't read the rest of the verse. And ye shall receive the gift, the Holy Ghost. What happened in Samaria? They got the gift of the Holy Ghost when they got saved. What happened in Cornelius' house? They got the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry. At Samaria, they did not till Peter came down. But at Cornelius' house, they got the gift of the Holy Ghost. You got the gift of the Holy Ghost when you got saved.
Yeah.
Now, let me say something here. One of my mentors was a fellow named Percy Ray, knew more about prayer, I think, and getting folks saved than anybody I've met in my life. And here's what he said to me one day. He said, preacher, he said, this bunch is keep saying, oh God, send your power. Oh God, send your power. Oh God, I want the power of God. He said, you better listen to me. Only time you'll ever get the power of God's when you get the presence.
Yeah.
Of God.
Yep.
I like it when God shows up in church.
Amen.
Woo. It's kind of hard for lost folks not to get saved when God shows up. I have a pastor friend up in South Carolina. He said it's just a normal Sunday morning. Said, you know, they do their normal things. Matter of fact, they have Sunday school, and they have an open assembly in the auditorium, and said they started open assembly, and said he was running late and he got there just in time, and said they started open assembly, and they got out of open assembly at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He said the fellow was trying to read his devotion. He couldn't do it. He got to cry and just went out and got in the altar, and the whole bunch is in the altar. And you know, after about 45 minutes, they said, well, maybe we ought to sing a song. And they sung a song, and God moved through again, and they went and got in the altar, and folks were getting saved when they came in the door, and Christians getting right with each other. And 1 o'clock in the afternoon,
yeah.
He never got to preach. Now, about you, I like that.
Yes, sir.
He said, well, I don't think I'd care for that. Oh, my goodness. You ever get in one, you will.
Yes,
hallelujah. It's an empowering work of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen?
Yep.
I gotta hurry.
It's
I had a fella, and I was just talking to him. I think it was in a ball or something. I don't know what it was. And I said, are you saved? You Christian? He said, yeah. I said, well, me too. He said, hey, Greg. He said, oh, amen, brother. And grabbed me and hugged me. He said, have you had the second blessing? And I said, yeah. Oh, amen, brother. I said, in the 35th and the 468th and 30,216, and I think I'm working on about 100,000 by now. He stepped back and said, oh, you're one of those. And I said, oh, praise God, yes.
Amen.
We used to, when I was growing up, sing a song called Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. And my mama's famous response every time we sang it was, how in the world are you going to do that?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen, brother.
Yep.
Hello?
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Yep. Come on.
Now listen, they got the Holy Ghost. Now, look at the result. He said, but ye shall receive power if the Holy Ghost come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea, and in Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah.
Yep.
His last command is our first responsibility. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yep.
No.
Yep. Go.
I'm sorry. I led you down a primrose path. Let's read the verse again. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea, and in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Find me a command in there. Until one day I just read my Bible, and I said, whoa, Lord, I've been preaching that wrong all these years. It's not a command. Hello? It's a statement of fact.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. It's true.
When'd you get the Holy Ghost? All right, y'all help me. When'd you get the Holy Ghost? When'd you get empowered?
Salvation.
And he said, "I'm telling you, if you get genuinely born again, you'll be a witness. You just can't help it."
Right.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's good.
We have a lady in our church. Joyce said, I always put, she's about this tall?
Yeah,
about that tall. She, what's she weigh, 90 pounds? Yeah, something like that. She's as quiet as church mouse. If she was here tonight, she'd be back over in the back corner. You'd never even know she's here. She'll work 3 men in the ground. Seriously. One of our teenagers, he's pretty stout. He's not quite as big as I am. And he just grabbed a hold of her, and the next thing he knew, he was laying on the ground looking up like, how'd I get here? strong. I guess you grew up with brothers. That's the only thing I can figure out. Amen. Think that's it?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, folks, listen, she's so quiet, and she got saved, and she works with veterinary. She picks these, she's changed job now, but she'd pick these big old dogs up and set them up on the table. I mean, just strong. And she worked for a veterinarian. She had three other girls there in the veterinarian. And she said one day something happened, and she just walked in the office, and she said, "Oh, Pooh." And one of the girls said, "Amber, don't you ever cuss?" And she said, "You know, I used to have a filthy, ungodly, wicked mouth until I got saved."
Amen.
Amen.
And the girl said, "How's that work? Don't you like it when the Lord just kicks the door open?" And she said, "For 15 minutes I sat down, and there were no animals, there were no customers for 15 minutes. And she witnessed to those three girls, and a veterinarian came in and sat down and listened.
Amen.
Here's what she said. She said, "It's like I couldn't help it." You ever get the can't help it's?
Amen. Yeah.
I love the can't help it's. Amen. My wife gets the can't help it's. We'll go to Walmart, you know, and that lady behind the counter, and she say, "How you doing today?" And my wife said, "I'm doing good since I found out Christ died for my sins." That gets varied responses. You understand that?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yep.
Now listen, there's sometimes I back up, just unconsciously I back up, and I say, "Okay, God, I got to go home and get right with you, because I feel embarrassed and I shouldn't."
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Yep.
You ever get to can't help it? I mean, you yep. see such a need in a lost person, and you realize they're headed for hell.
Yep.
I want to tell you something. Your prayer time blessed me. You can't believe the number of Baptist churches we go into, and they have prayer time, and never the name of a lost person is called. Never. All they talk about is Uncle Joe's big toe and who has cancer and
help us.
Help us, Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I get this. He said, "You get saved, you'll be a witness."
All right.
I've been doing something for years, and I don't know. I don't even remember the first person I led the Lord right off. But I always ask somebody to get saved, "What do you want to do now?" And I'm telling you, 99.9% of the time, they want to go tell somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody prayed for them. They won't tell a preacher. Yeah. They won't tell their mama. They won't tell their daddy. They won't tell somebody.
Yeah.
See, the most natural thing in the world for a child of God to do is tell somebody.
Amen. That's right. Yep. That's good. Yep.
We have a deacon in our church, and he's a real witness to the Lord. We took him to New Orleans with him with homeless folks, and he just had a blast. He really did. But he was telling me he was a fireman in Jackson for a number of years, and he said he had a lieutenant, and they sent this lieutenant to fire school out in San Francisco, California, which San Francisco used to have the best fire schools in the nation. And he's a tremendous Christian, and said he went out there and he began to pray, "Oh God, show me somebody I can witness to. Show me somebody I can tell about Jesus."
Amen.
He said the second day, he'd been looking around the first day, and the second day he came back to his hotel in the afternoon, and he stopped at the little store, and he got him several loaves of bread and some lunch meat and some cheese and some mayonnaise and some Cokes, and he went up to his room and he made sandwiches and put them into bags and took the Cokes and went across the street to where the homeless folks lived and gave out food and witnessed.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, if you want to serve God, I'll guarantee you, God will give you a way to serve God.
That's right.
Yep. Oh, the one I really like is this.
Yep.
"Well, you know, preacher, I don't have the gift of evangelism." I said, "Well, you right there, you don't." And they would say, "What?" I said, "I don't have the gift of evangelism either. Matter of fact, nobody's got the gift of evangelism. And one fellow said, well, how is it that, you know, there's just some folks, they just win folks Jesus. I said, they work at it.
Yeah.
They memorize scripture. They're looking for lost folks.
Amen.
They're begging God to open doors and help them witness life and lip.
Yep.
Ought to be both.
Amen.
Can I... Let me just tell you the best witness I've ever met in my life. My daddy was a soul winning Baptist deacon over 60 years and a tremendous witness for Jesus Christ. But we were one day at Golden Corral, my favorite buffet. Amen. You ought to buffet your body every day. Hallelujah. Amen. And Joy had gone up to the food bar and there was a waitress there. And I have a track called Bad Bob, and I tell them, this is my name, this is not my picture.
Yeah.
Amen. And I gave this to the waitress, and she said, sir, would it be all right if I gave that away? And I said, well, yeah, I guess so. She said, there's a fellow here named Bob, and he really needs that track. I said, huh, okay. She said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She said, are you a preacher? I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. She said, well, thank you. She said, I appreciate that. She said, preacher, you know why I work here? And I said, I have no idea. She said, I don't have to work here. My husband makes over $100,000 a year. She said, I work here so I have an opportunity to tell people about Jesus.
Amen.
I want to crawl under the table. Here I am. I'm teaching people about witnessing. Here's a woman that's doing far beyond anything I could imagine. I mean, she puts in 40 hours a week in a restaurant, hard work, just so she gets to witness.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Are you a witness for the Lord?
No.
You say, well, preacher, I'm really not. Maybe just need to get saved.
Come on.
Because I'm telling you, when God changes your life, yeah, the natural thing for you to do is to be a witness. Or maybe you'd say, well, preacher, you know, I got saved and really I used to tell folks about Jesus, but it's just kind of fell off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Only thing the devil wants you to do is just give you a diversion and keep you from doing.
Yeah. Yep.
The main thing God's called you to do.
Amen.
One more and I'm going to quit. I was at Walmart and I'm getting out of my car and it was a bad arthritis day. Some of you younger folks, you don't understand that. Wait a few years. My grandson wants to play football. I said, well, you're just going to increase your arthritis level when you hit 65. Amen. But I'm getting out and I'm going, and there's an old black lady who'd pulled in over here and she got out of her car. Now understand, she's about this tall. She is brilliantly white-headed. And she's kind of stooped over. And I asked some folks, I said, how old is she? And they said, she's got to be at least 85 or 90. And I said, yeah, okay, well, I understand. She got out of her car, and I'm getting out. And she stopped, and she walked over, and she said, sir, are you all right? And I said, yeah, I'll be fine. She said, can I help you? I thought, maybe she's got dementia. I mean, she's going to help me. I said, I appreciate it. And she started off. And I said, ma'am, can I ask you a question? She turned around. She said, yes, sir. I said, are you saved, born again, sins washed away in the blood of Jesus? And she said, oh, I remember the day when the blessed Holy Ghost of God stopped by my house, my address. He had a long talk with me and his son, I mean, for about 2 minutes. Woo! Me and her had revival. Glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
She got finished, and she said, "Now, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." She said, "Why'd you ask me that?" I said, "Real simple. Christians are givers and not takers."
Yeah.
See, if you're saved, it's not so much what you want to get from God.
Right.
It's what you want to allow God to give out through you.
Amen.
Yep. You say, "I thought giving was just your wallet." Oh no, that's just an expression of it. But in your life every day, you're looking for people you can give the gospel to. You can give help to. Because folks, listen to me, without the gospel, without salvation, they're going to die and spend eternity in hell. Would you stand, please, every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, we thank you for the evening and thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what it means to us. And I pray, Father,